I just had a taste of Nashville, and I loved it. So, of course, while I was in town, I thought to visit my favorite Canadian rock and the music scene. Problem is, there was a problem, right? Terry Clark was in Canada. So it's like we passed each other. But she's on the phone with us. We got her now. Hello, Terry Clark.
Hi, Jeremy. Yes, we were two strangers passing in the sky.
You know, we'll talk about your new hometown of Nashville in a bit, but what was it finally like getting back onto the concert stage for Stampede in Calgary? I imagine different, but refreshing this year.
It was really, really cool. And you know, it was a very unexpected thing. It came up last minute. So, all along I had planned on just going back on the road, and my first shows were going to be in the U.S. in Minnesota this past weekend. And then I got the call for the Stampede. So they just didn't know if they were going to go on or not. I mean, everything was just last minute. But boy, did they ever put on a production. And I got to be a part of the grandstand show, and I borrowed Dallas Smith's van because mine can't get in because they're U.S. citizens. And they met me in Calgary. We rehearsed, and we did 20 minutes a night on the grandstand show for 5 nights. I wanted to do all 10, but I had to come back here and pick up my U.S. dates that were officially supposed to be the first ones that I came back out with. But it was a great way to get back into it slowly. Getting in back in the saddle one stirrup at a time, with a shorter set like that and a huge audience, like there were thousands of people there in the grandstand. It was, and in Alberta where I'm from, I mean, it just seemed to be the perfect thing.
I mean, I imagine that's something about performing back home, especially for a Canadian audience, right? For people, this summer was probably their first time out in a long while. And then, so put those together with, a hometown gal and their first time out, you've been cooped up. I'm sure the energy was wild.
It was great. You know, the grandstand is a very large venue, and the crowd is really far away. But it's harder to feel energy in those types of settings, but I could tell everybody was really excited to be there. And, I was glad it was outside, and I didn't feel like I was putting anybody at danger by doing the show. People could distance if they wanted to. There was room in the stands, and it was outside, which is open air. And it felt so good to be back in front of a crowd. And one of the best bonuses about playing Calgary for me, anytime I play that market, is I have so much family there. I got to see cousins and aunts and uncles and my mom's side, and it just makes me feel like my mom's around. So I got to spend time with them during the day. I golfed a couple times. It was just a really, really great trip and a great opportunity to get back in front of people, like I said, just in these little bits at a time. And Dallas's band, guys, and Ben Roots, the fiddle player from Ontario who plays with Johnny Reed. I kind of pieced the guys together, but they're just some of Canada's best musicians and best guys. We hung out after the show. We had a blast. We were all so grateful to be back on stage again. And I'm glad it was them that I got to do it with.
And there's something about Stampede. It's one of those events, if people have never gone to it, it's like I could have gone maybe, let's say, 10 years ago, not gone for 10 years, and then gone back and just remembered sort of like every minute of it. Oh yeah, this was that. And it's like you're just back at home. It's just that kind of an event.
Well, they call it the greatest the greatest outdoor show on earth for a reason. And I lived in Calgary in my elementary school years for a couple of years, and then we moved to Medicine Hat. And Medicine Hat has a Stampede too. So Stampede, culture has been a part of my childhood from the time we moved out west when I was 9. And we used to go to the pancake breakfast in Calgary, and my mom was in her 20s, and they'd go stampeding, and we'd have the babysitter, and they'd be off for 3 nights and doing whatever at the Ranchman's and having fun and going to all the shows. And it's always been a big part of my life. Chuck wagon races, and the grandstand show has always been kind of the holy grail, the thing that everybody wants to get to do, and I've never done it in my entire career. So, for whatever reason, I got to do it this year, and I was glad to be Canadian because their choices were limited. And it was a lot of fun.
Please welcome, by default, Terry Clark, everybody.
Well, Default played at Stampede. That's a whole other story.
Yeah. Good one. You got me on that one. All right. I tried to zing it and you flipped it around on me. I appreciate that.
I got to see Dallas, and Dallas actually came out and did One Drink Ago with me the last night of the Grandstand show, because he was in town doing a default show. And that's where the joke came from.
Absolutely. So, we know you love Canada. That's obvious. Nashville, though, it's a really fun place. Music City, as it's known. And we taped our 15th anniversary shows all over the city, checked out the usual tourist spots for segments. But you've known the city long enough. What are some of the little gems, those little uniquely Nashville spots that outsiders probably don't know about? What would you recommend a visitor do or go? What are Terry's picks in Nashville?
Well, there's not much people don't know about anymore. I've been here for 32 years. I moved here when I was 18 years old. So, I've lived in Nashville longer than any other place in my life. But it has become the it city. And, I don't know that there's a lot that people haven't discovered. I mean, there are places outside of Nashville that are pretty cool, like Leaper's Fork. And if you drive an hour and a half, on 24, you can go to Fall Creek Falls, which is a beautiful hiking trail with beautiful waterfalls. That's not something that the tourists know a whole lot about. There are some wonderful hiking trails in Nashville: Percy Warner Park, Edwin Warner Park, Beeman Park up in White's Creek, which is about 20 minutes north of town. And then you've got your restaurants and bars, but. Everywhere you go, the tourists have figured out, 12 South. They figured out Lower Broadway, obviously.
Oh, yes.
The 8th Avenue. There's not a whole lot in Nashville that hasn't been discovered by people coming into town. There are some restaurants that I go to that the locals who have been around forever, and these restaurants have survived the gentrification and all of the chef-driven farm-to-table restaurants and the hipsters coming into Nashville, and that still exist, that I like to go to because it reminds me of how it was 25 years ago, because they're still around.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is called, now I'm going to tell you and people are going to go there, but the one's called Park Cafe, and it's over in the Sylvan Park, Richland area, historic area of town, like a lot of historic houses, sidewalks and trees, and there's just some places that look exactly the same as they did, but they're getting harder and harder to find. Music Row is a beast that I do not know. I stand there and I look around, and it looks nothing. I would not know I was in the same city if you'd have transported me from 1987 to now, all of a sudden, at 18, and I was standing there on Demumbrian. I would not know that I was in the same city. That's how much it's changed.
I mean, yeah, the Broadway Strip, I sort of compare it to the Las Vegas Strip, where it's tourist, very tourist-centric, and I imagine that locals stay far away.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, you can't pay me enough to go down to Lower Broadway anymore. I used to go hang out at Tootsie's and stuff, and I'd play the Ryman, and, when the Opry was at the Ryman, and even 10 years ago, it wasn't nearly what it is now, but the parking's ridiculous, and it's just... it's a lot of bachelorette parties, and I don't want to live in Las Vegas, so I just pretend that that's not existing down there and stay in my bubble.
There you go. Let's talk Ryman and Opry, because I signed off from one of our radio shows on the Grand Ole Opry stage. That center circle is such an iconic place. I mean, you almost just stand there and have to look at it for a second. So tell me about your first Opry performance. What do you remember about that moment?
I was just being terrified. And overwhelmingly terrified, excited, anxious. It was, the culmination of, years of dreaming. And I was like 27 at the time I played the Opry for the first time. And I got to tell you, I'm not 27 anymore, but I feel like I am every time I step out there. It's that same feeling. I get more nervous on that stage than anywhere. And I've heard everybody say that. It's just so iconic and such an honor to be standing there where all the greats have stood.
And I mean, really, it's a career, and I think even a personal full circle moment, because for me, like I said, being from Canada, you hear about the Grand Ole Opry, you kind of know that it's a big deal, but until you're there, you just don't know. And then you're standing on that stage and you look out. I mean, I wasn't performing for a group of people. I was there in an empty room, but it's still, you just feel the presence of all those people in that history.
Yeah, you sure do. And I mean, the first time I came to Nashville, the same day I got the job playing at Tootsie's for Tips in 87, I went around the corner and I toured the Ryman. They were giving tours. And I remember standing in there and standing on the stage, and I could just envision Patsy Cline backstage and all of these people. And it was just, the Ryman particularly is almost like a, it's almost eerie. It's got such an energy to it that you just know greatness has been there. So much of it has been there.
Let's talk about that full circle moment. We're almost out of time, but you know, Patsy Cline, I know that you're good friends with the Oak Ridge Boys, who've been on the radio with me many times, Colin Ray, Loretta Lynn. Is that surreal? Because I know it was very surreal for me, the kid from Winnipeg, and these people know who I am, and they're looking forward to talking to me again. I mean, you're immersed in the industry there, and you know these people, you call them up, you text them, whatever it is. I mean, what's that like for you?
It's surreal. I'll never get used to that, Jeremy. It's like, you know, texting Joe Bonzel of the Oak Ridge Boys about them coming to sing on my Christmas project, or doing an interview for the show, or anything. It's just surreal. I was texting with Winona the other night, and I actually texted to her. I said, I can't believe I'm texting with you. Like, it still just blows me away. She was such a big deal to me growing up, and still is, but just the Judds, what a huge influence they had on my music, and so many other of my female counterparts, you know, from my era and beyond. And we're just at 2 a.m., I'm laying in my bunk in my bus, and she's in hers, on hers somewhere in America, and we're just texting with each other about her interviewing for my radio show, Country Gold. And I'm just like, I just said, so can I just take a moment and say, I can't believe we're actually texting? It's crazy. I think the minute you forget that, and you just think it's, oh yeah, no big deal, then you're in trouble. You gotta keep that spark and that appreciation and gratitude and that little bit of wow, mm-hmm. You know, the wow factor. You gotta keep that going, and it keeps you grateful for it. And I'll never get used to it. It's never gonna be old hat to me.
No, well, I'm having a freak out that Terry Clark has my phone number. I mean, this is just weird to me. It's very, very strange.
Well, I won't crank call you. Do people still do that?
I don't know. I know you've got a whole bunch of summer tour dates, lots of information on your website. What else do you have on the go? You're always keeping so busy.
Well, right now I'm trying to get up to my cottage in Ontario, and I haven't been able to go all summer for various reasons, and the quarantine rules stopped me. I couldn't sit inside for 2 weeks. So now that that's over, I'm going up there. I'm going to see my grandmother, who's in a nursing home, and I'm going to see my family and reunite with them and do a little fishing, and then do some dates in Texas the end of August, Indiana. And then in September, I'm doing some dates in Tennessee, California, and then I'm going to go back up there and enjoy the rest of September and do some dates with Pantelis and Susie Boggess in October. Out with the Chicks with Hits trio that we have going on. But other than just getting back on the road and getting back, jumping back into the touring realm of things and getting the show ironed out and tweaked and getting everything back rolling, that's all I really have planned for the rest of this year on the professional front, and continuing to do my radio show, Country Gold. I've got a lot of cool things lined up and special guests with that show too.
Very, very cool. You mentioned visiting grandma. Very quickly, tell us about Frontline Friday on your website.
That came about when we were in the midst of the pandemic. A lot of the frontline workers that we were seeing on the news just having nervous breakdowns because of what was going on, and sleep deprived and getting sick and having mental health issues, and my heart went out to them. So I decided I wanted to feature one every other Friday on my website, and people can nominate somebody and we will feature them with their picture and their story. And I would just want to keep it going, because frontline workers aren't just during a pandemic. They're every day, and I don't think they're appreciated enough for what they do.
You can give them a freak out by calling them too, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I should do.
And so your website address for all the information is?
TerryClark.com, and my Instagram is TerryClarkMusic, at TerryClarkMusic, and Facebook. I have a Facebook page, and just make sure there's a blue check mark beside my name so you know that it's me, and if anybody tries to instant message you and scam you out of money or something, if you think you're talking to me and there's no blue check mark, you're not talking to me.
And we should come up with like a code word, because if you get a phone call saying it's Terry Clark, say the word Nashville, okay? So if the person says Nashville,
exactly,
it's Terry Clark. Well, yeah. She's Canada's sweetheart and Nashville sweetheart, but we're going to claim her as Canadian. Terry Clark, thank you so much for joining us. It's been great chatting with you.
Thank you, Jeremy, and best of luck with your next chapter.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.